brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Do you always really think about that food for the journey? Those things that will lead us and move us more quickly on the road to salvation, to eternal life with God. That's real. That's not just some made-up fairy tale or something. This is true. This is what God will do for us. I don't know what heaven's like. I'm going to be astonished as you are, but that's where we want to go. With as little time in purgatory as possible. That's why it's important to acknowledge your weaknesses and acknowledge your faults so that they could be forgiven and peace in your life would come. Brothers and sisters, follow him, and the way is sure if we follow him. If we follow anybody else, it could be good one day and bad the next day. Trust him. Trust the Lord. Put your faith in him before all others. Let's take a look here at the entrance antiphon for this Sunday of July 4th. This is a great and joyous day for all of us in this country. But let's get straight what it is that God wants of us. That's what's first. Your merciful love, O God, we have received in the midst of your temple. Your praise, O God, like your name, reaches the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with saving justice. God is just. God is kind. God is merciful. God will always forgive you when we acknowledge our sin and bring it to him. Always he will acknowledge us. He will know. He will forgive us. Brothers and sisters, please, please get free of what weighs you down or memories of things in the past. Bring them to the Lord in confession. Confess whatever your part was or whatever happened, and then be at peace. You've brought it back to God, and God forgives. He always will forgive. His mercy endures forever. And so we pray, O God, who in the abasement of your Son have risen up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy. For on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. God became man to bring us back to him. Brothers and sisters, you couldn't be loved more than that. All we need to do, I know it isn't easy, but our main role is to share his word with others and repent of our sin. We all sin. We're weak. We're fallible. We make mistakes. Just ask for forgiveness as soon as you can. The sacrament of reconciliation, as I've said this week, is one of the greatest blessings we could be given. It is. It sets you free. You don't have to carry the burden. You can let it go once it's confessed. Let's take a look at the first reading now from the prophet Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have revolted against me to this very day. Hard of face and obstinate of heart are they to whom I am sending you. But you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they heed or resist, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that a prophet has been among them. God is trying to give us mercy on every side. Time to turn back to him. Time to confess our sin. To get back on the right track. He's giving us all this grace. Please, please don't ignore it. Please. May God bless you and turn you toward him, because he loves you. And he wants you, if you're away from him, he wants you back in his fold. And if you are in his fold, he wants to bring you more alive to what God has done for you every step of the way, even with the difficulties we've learned. Brothers and sisters, trust him, please. In the responsorial psalm, our eyes are fixed on the Lord, pleading for his mercy. And that's what we want to do, plead for his mercy. To you I lift up my eyes, who are enthroned in heaven. As the eyes of servants are the hands are on the hands of their masters, as the eyes of a maid are on the hands of her mistress, so are our eyes on the Lord our God, till he have pity on us. Have pity on us, O Lord, have pity on us, for we are more than sated with contempt. Our souls are more than sated with the mockery of the arrogant, with the contempt of the proud. Have pity on us, O Lord, have pity on us. He will not deny you if you come to him and acknowledge whatever sin is in your life right now. And the second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. Brothers and sisters, that I, Paul, might not become too elated because of the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, an angel of Satan to beat me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I begged the Lord about this, that it might leave me, but he said to me, now remember, this is St. Paul, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is what the Lord is saying to him and to us. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. I will rather boast most gladly of my weaknesses, in order that the power of Christ may dwell with me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Think of that. Look at the mercy of God. Benefit from the mercy of God. Don't hold back your sin. You will be set free. And from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Judas and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his native place and among his own kin and in his own house. So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Is God amazed at our lack of faith? Look what he's done for us. He's created a world for us. Will he not save us? Yes, if we are faithful to him. If you've been away from the church, please consider talking to a priest in your parish. Please, even if you've been away for years, go to the priest that would be in your parish or someone you know very well, a priest, and tell him where you've been and what you've done and ask for God's pardon, and it will be given you. It's like the weight comes off you and you know a peace that you haven't known for a long time. God wants to set you free. He wants you with him forever in heaven. He longs to have you with him. Please, brothers and sisters, please don't be afraid. Even if you're just plain embarrassed, which we all are at times, don't be afraid, because God loves you. There was a bishop, Dominican priest, and he was a missionary. He was the first bishop of Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi there, all you Ohioans. And this text is from a letter to Pope Leo XIII upon the dedication of the first cathedral of Cincinnati. And he wrote this: Most Holy Father, more and more, day by day, a sense of gratitude expands within me for such abundant and splendid favors as granted me by your holiness. It is utterly impossible to express by word or by letter what a heart so full yearns to make known to your holiness. O exalt, O Holy Mother Church, who has given life not in vain by the outpouring of the blood of the Lord for the redemption of souls, not least because in these remote regions of the known world, the number of the faithful daily increases and is gathered before him who is the rock, upon him whom the church was built. Rejoice, Holy Father, successor of Peter. I cry out again, rejoice. The lambs of the Lord's flock are being multiplied greatly. Give thanks with us all to the Supreme Lord, who is able to raise up children of Abraham, even from the stones. This was from Bishop Edward Dominic Fenwick. And he died, I believe, in the year 1832. And he had written this about the parish in Cincinnati, Ohio, of which he was the part. Brothers and sisters, do you thank God that way? Do you reach out to God when you've been given something that makes you thankful? I just stop right in my tracks when that happens and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You are a good God, and I love you. Please help me to love you more. I just say, sometimes all I can say is just thank you, but sometimes I go on for a little bit, whatever fits your personality. But I just want to say to you, it's God who provides these things for us. He is at the root of everything that is good for us, and we want to return him thanks. Please, brothers and sisters, look around you right now. Look around at your family. Look around at your friends. Look around at your co-workers, your parishioners with you in the same parish. Just thank them in whatever way they've been good to you. People always appreciate that. The Lord himself receives it in thanksgiving to him for what he provides for all of us. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I think I'll spend the first 1,000,000 years just thanking God. We'll see one another there. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.